over three years we've been in Proverbs, and we are slowly going, but we're almost there. Proverbs 16 and verse 31, and once you find your place, let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to be as brief as I can tonight, 20, 25 minutes or less. You might want to start your watch, but not till after I say amen, okay, so that I get as much time to warm up as I can, and we'll do our best with this. Going to use a verse tonight, and I want to be very respectful and kind, and so when you read it, don't think of anything. I'm not thinking of anything. I'm just going to read it and pray, and then we'll go on, all right? Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You know what a hoary head is? You don't know what a hoary head is? You've got one. How do you not know what it is, Brother Jackson? A hoary head is a gray head. It's the gray head of age. Brother Sienna knows it well. Brother Welshman does. Many of you ladies do, but your hair coloring is covering it up, but that's all right. Got to get whoever you use so that when mine finishes coming in, I cannot have mine either. So anyway, the hoary head, the Bible says, it's a crown of glory. Father, thank you for this verse, and thank you those, Lord, who are living amongst us with that hoary head. And I, Lord, thank you for their example. I want to use them tonight. I want to highlight them as you have. Pray that you'll bless this message. I pray, Lord, that you just help me as I yield myself to you to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may have the privilege of being filled with your Spirit and then used. God, I give myself to you as your mouthpiece. And I ask that you just speak through me your message. Lord, that you would also set a watch at my lips and prevent me from saying anything that would hinder your Holy Spirit or offend any of these people that are here tonight. Rather, I pray that you'd help me to be obedient. Say only in all of those things that you would have me to say. For the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his kingdom and glory, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. From corporate America to the military to professional sports, every year people are honored for their longevity and faithfulness. Can somebody, Brother John, maybe help Tavo back there? I feel like I'm inside of a beer can again. And longevity and faithfulness go hand in hand. Regardless of what you do, people are always appreciative the longer that you do it and the way that you do it. Some years ago, Queen Elizabeth of England conferred honors on her birthday to a number of subjects. One man honored was a 60-year-old postman in northern Wales by the name of Jones. Mr. Jones, who came from a family delivering Welsh mail for 150 years, had not missed a day of service in 43 years, not one day. Can you imagine that? Delivering mail, no matter whether it was snow or storms or floods. The Queen bestowed upon Mr. Jones the British Empire Medal upon him in gratitude for his faithfulness. So even the Queen of England recognizes the fact that here's a guy that's busted his chops for 43 years and taken the mail to every kind of individual, regardless of the circumstances. And in every age, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, in every age, the call from heaven has been for those kind of people, for faithful men. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 12 and verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. Again, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. In our text tonight, we find an appropriate highlight, if you will, of the blessing of God on a life who has been steadfast on the path of righteousness. Now, when you look at verse 31, it says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You have to assume or certainly understand that once you're found on the path of righteousness, that you had to start there. Okay, so you don't just happen to be at the end of your life on the path of righteousness. He's talking about the person that started there and then finish there. I hope that you've started this year off right. I hope that you've started this year strong for the Lord. But my prayer is that your zeal for the Lord and your zeal for the new year and for making things new. Do you know what I mean by all that? Everybody says, no, this is the year. I'm going to lose whatever weight. I'm going to do this and I'm going to change this. And everybody's always, the very beginning of the year, very zealous toward these things. But my prayer is that that zeal will be for the Lord, for His Word, and that His will be done all year long. Look, it's a known fact. People do appreciate how you start, but they really care how you finish. And that's the whole idea here. I want you to take your outline and briefly notice with me three significant truths about the faithful. about the faithful. And if you don't mind, even though we're going to go in short order, I want you to turn to several places in the Bible tonight. First of all, I want you to notice, number one, the goal of faithfulness. The goal of faithfulness. Now, we're going to be, obviously, because it's Proverbs, and we're doing this line upon line, somewhat topical. Can you turn me up just a little bit, Tavo, please? We're going to be somewhat topical, but we're going to use the Bible, of course, to support what we're talking about here. The goal of faithfulness. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want you to go down to verse 24. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to these Christians, and he recognizes at the very beginning of this book that they are, in fact, Christians, addresses them as such. And then he gets here to chapter 9, and you go down to verse 24, and here's what he says. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the what? The prize. So run. He doesn't say don't run. He said, I want you to run. And notice what it says, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible, notice the word, crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I know where I'm going. I know what the goal is, verse 27. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest by that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, let me say that our daily goal ought to be faithful to God. That's what it ought to be. We could say at the beginning of the year, I want to be faithful to the Lord in every way for 2014. Well, that's going to be an impossibility unless you do it every day. Every day, your daily goal ought to be, I want to be faithful to the Lord in my words today. I want to be faithful to the Lord in my thoughts today. But when we first start down that narrow way, that is from the moment of salvation, when we start down that narrow road that we talked about in Matthew chapter 7 that leads to eternal life, we don't really know what it all means, do we? A lot of people get saved and they come out like gangbusters. You guys know what I'm talking about. You lead them to Christ and bam, they jump out of the gate. So run. That's what Paul says. So look, so run. You ought to be running. But I want you to see pretty much the cycle of this faithfulness in order to gain to the point of your life where you have the hoary head and you're still in the way of righteousness. I want you to see the cycle. First of all, there's always the excitement of starting right. The new year is, of course, that okay, we're pushing the new year reset button and we're starting our Bible reading over and we've started our prayer reading and today's the 8th. I guarantee you there are several people in this church that have already given up. Unfortunately, I started out reading like two or three chapters a day and now I'm down to like a half a verse because I can't keep my focus. I mean, that's just the reality of the human life. And when we don't surrender, in many cases, minute by minute, and our goal is to be faithful for the next 60 seconds to God, we're just never going to finish the entire year. So yes, there's an excitement of starting right, but letter B, there's a discipline of staying right. And that's what the Apostle Paul says here. It says, and everyone that striveth, verse 25, for the mastery, notice, is temperate in all things. And notice what he says. Now they do it for obtain a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. The word crown there, the word crown in the Hebrew in Proverbs 16 verse 31 is just the victor's wreath. It's the award or the reward for doing something honorable. In fact, the word glory there is honor. We'll look at that in a little bit. The fact of the matter is, if I'm going to finish, not only do I have to start, I got to stay disciplined at what I'm doing. So it's not just, okay, I'm glad I'm started down this road. Now I've got to discipline myself to stay on the way of righteousness. You know, that's what's so impressive to me about someone that stays, for instance, like my mom, teaching Sunday school for 50 years. She could have stopped 20 years ago and said, you know what, I've done that. I'm going to let somebody else take up that mantle. She could have done it for 30 years. She could have done it for 40. She did it for 50 years. That's awesome to me. Anybody who put up with anybody else's children for 50 years gets a medal in my book. Now, sadly, she was my Sunday school teacher, second grade, and then she saw how special I was. So she promoted with me to third grade. Then she really saw my needs and went with me to fourth grade and fifth grade, no joke, and sixth grade. She went with me every single grade until she realized that she was okay back at down to the little ages, and now I was the youth department's problem. The fact of the matter is, that hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, that means that it requires some discipline. 2 Peter chapter 3, I think you have it in your notes. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, this is the crown you're looking for, I want to be faithful. Notice what it says. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot. What's the next word? Blameless. Look, it takes discipline to not walk in the flesh. Amen. Discipline says, I want to please Christ, not my flesh. I can live after the flesh, but according to the Spirit, or the Spirit of the Word of God, I'm going to die. If you live after the Spirit, you shall live. Now watch the next verse here in your notes. Galatians 2 and verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, know not for an hour that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. I like that phrase. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, in order for that to happen, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to know when to talk. You've got to know when to listen. You've got to know when to walk. You've got to know when to serve. All of that is a matter of disciplining yourself to stay right. Look, the fact of the matter is, the moment that we got saved, we all started right. The young lady in the back that talked about the young man that was saved, but he had an overdose of heroin. He started right, he just didn't finish right. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to finish in the right way, you've got to start in the right way, and you've got to stay in the right way. We see the excitement of starting right, the discipline of staying right. Thirdly, I want you to see the character to finish right. The character to finish right. Now, if you think about it, if you go back to Proverbs 16:31, if you're going to be found in the way of righteousness, and you're going to have that hoary head to prove it, that gray head that God gives you as the crown of, so to speak, the old age in your life because of your faithfulness, then you need to understand that it's not the easiest way to go. Being faithful over the years is not easy. Some of us in here could say, it's not even been easy in the last 6 months. It's not even been easy for the last year. You ever consider the fact that some Christians have been faithful for so long that they just don't know what else to do but to be faithful? It doesn't matter what kind of ailment they have. I remember when I was in Las Vegas, before I went over to Lancaster for Bible college, there was a man named Ted Kerber. Ted had skin cancer. And because of the treatments that he took, the top of his head was completely raw. I mean, just raw. And in many cases, it would be pussing. And some of us would be like, hey, I'm staying in the house. I'm not going. Ted was at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Not only was he in church, every weekend, the man drove out to the state penitentiary and he preached the gospel to like 150 inmates. Every week. I watched that man from 1993 to 1998 never miss a service. And I went to him one night and I said, Ted, I had tears flowing down my face. I said, Ted, I want you to understand that you were the single most encouraging person I have ever met in my entire life. He said, Brother Kyle, I don't know that I've talked to you very much. I said, Ted, you don't have to say anything to me. What you do says it all. It was unbelievable. Here are these people that find any reason to stay home or to get out of church. Ted's got cancer, and he's got migraines because of the pain on top of his head, and he's just serving God. I'm telling you, that makes me feel this big. Makes me feel like I am nothing in the eyes of God. You know why? Because he has a crown of glory, apparently. He had the character to stay in the way. By the way, it's the Apostle Paul that encouraged Timothy by saying, I've fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I could only assume that the Apostle Paul, when he had his head separated from his body by Nero's blade, that his head was probably somewhat grayed. And he would tell you, in fact, if you read the chronicle of his trials, that though he had gone through more than anybody else because of the grace of God, he went through it by the grace of God and gladly while he finished his course. What was he revealing? He was revealing not only his discipline, but his spiritual character. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the character to finish January faithfully? How about February or March? When the first quarter of the year is gone, how much of the Bible will you have read and how much of God's work will have been done? I'm just simply saying, if we're going to finish right, we've got to start right, but we've got to stay right. It's the character of our walk with God that reveals itself at the end of our life, the goal of faithfulness. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the guidance of faithfulness. The guidance of faithfulness. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Now our verse is the hoary head is the crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Now, you need to understand that no man is an island and every one of us are leaders, whether we like to think so or not. Somebody's watching us, whether it's your little boy, your teenage boy, your little girl, your granddaughter, somebody around you is watching the way you live for Christ, listen or not. And so when you find somebody with a hoary head and they happen to be walking in the way of righteousness, the fact of the matter is that's an influence. Philippians chapter 2, notice verse 25. The Bible says, yet I supposed it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he, notice, longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye heard that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, in fact, nigh unto what? But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, Paul said, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice and that I may be with less sorrowful. Why was Paul sending Epaphroditus? So that he would be an example. So that, and by the way, over and over again, I could have gone through half of the New Testament telling you the people that Paul sent here, Timothy was one, and Paul sent Titus here, and different people everywhere, Philemon and whatnot. Why? So that they would be guided by these people's faithfulness. It is such a privilege and a blessing to walk beside someone who's been faithful in serving God. Consider Elisha's walk with God. Consider how God had poured out his spirit upon him and how that must have inspired and encouraged Elisha. When Elisha was walking on and he wouldn't stop walking and he watched God's measure of grace on Elijah's life, that had to help Elisha, because when you turn around and follow Elisha's life, he did not just the same thing, he did twice as much. The power of God was on his life. You see, the longer you serve the Lord, the more influence that you have to those around you. So the faithful provide several things. Letter A, they provide a securing presence. When you look throughout the Word of God and people that God puts around people whom God uses and vice versa, you find verses like this. Samuel, by the way, was a great encouragement. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 12, 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Watch. But I will teach you the good and right way. Samuel was influential in the life of Saul. He was influential in the life of David. And an encouragement. Jonathan was the same encouragement to David. Over and over again, you find those that were faithful, staying to the stuff, being disciplined, revealing that spiritual character, influencing others around them. It's a securing presence when the pastor is around us. And it's certainly a little more insecuring when he's not. I think of Brother Esposito down at their church in Long Beach. That church is not the same every Sunday when they go in. Why? Because pastor's not there. And they know pastor's in a hospital bed somewhere and he's having to be fed oxygen and they're hoping that he'd wake up. It's just not the same. And so when you find someone that's been faithful and has stayed faithful, those people have a securing presence. I can remember several years ago when people started departing from our ministry and some of the older folks were leaving because they were retiring and having to get out of this economy, and people were coming to me in panic mode. Why are all the spiritual people in our church leaving? And I said to the individual, well, first of all, that discounts the fact that you and me are staying. They didn't like that. It's just amazing how disconcerting it is when people who've been faithful are not faithful anymore. By the way, can I just say this, Dad? That's why you better be faithful to God. You walk away from God and understand there's a little tyke that's walking right behind you that says, I'll be just like that when I grow up. Randy, that's what your boys are going to do. They're going to watch you. Joe, that's what your boys are going to do. They're going to watch you, and they're going to see how you pray. They're going to see how you walk. They're going to see how you treat mom, and they'll be husbands and fathers just like both of y'all. That's why it's very, very important. The words that come out of your mouth, the actions, all of that is a securing presence. Listen, there's nothing more tragic than having a mom or a dad walk away from God knowing that those people behind them are now not secure anymore in their spiritual walk. Securing presence. Secondly, I want you to see they always provide a very steady pace. You know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You ask these people and come to our church, I think if the doll's been married for like 94 years or something crazy like that. They have served faithfully. You know, they've only been in three churches in 65 years. Some people in this room have been in three churches in the last 2 years. That's sad. The fact is, they have been faithful. Now, they're not here tonight, and they always have a legitimate reason. They have been faithful and faithful and faithful. And they didn't when people left Rachel and left one church, and then when they went to another church, they didn't say, well, we're leaving too. They just stayed up there in San Francisco. They stayed up in their other church in Los Altos. They just said, no, we're staying. They came down here. People come and go, and people come and go, and the Dolls are still here. They stand right there and sing every week. They clean that baptistry. They bring that music in. They come in every Saturday and scare me to death. The other week, they came in the door, and I didn't hear the door open, and they walked like mice anyway, and Marion walked into the trailer, and she appeared in my doorway, and I went, ah! She jumped back and then started laughing. I said, Marion, it's not funny. You scared me. I'm sorry. Walked over, got her music. That was it. Just, I'm sorry. It's all I got. Great day, woman. You need to wear bells or something. I can't hear you. She laughed. You know, if you're going to stay in the race, you're going to have to steady yourself. Yeah, it's great to have the excitement of starting, but at some point you've got to pull back. And the steady pace of the older Christians, the steady pace of those that are running that marathon, they'll say, now listen, you're going to have to pace yourself. You just don't become godly overnight. You've got to let God work on your heart. It's got to be your conviction, not the pastor's conviction. You're going to have to develop that faith. My children, my older two children, will tell you that they're having to learn their faith and their belief and their doctrines and their convictions. Why? Because they can't ride these coattails all their life. Brother Greg, Katie one day is going to have to figure out what the Bible says for Katie. She's going to have to say, that's my Bible. This is what I believe. And you know what's going to be based on? The way you and Linda walk. How you've paced yourself in the Christian walk. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, notice what it says in your notes, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. They provide a steady pace. Thirdly, they provide then a sure path. You know, they've walked a couple roads before. They've walked the road of trial. Some of them have walked the road of cancer. Many of them have walked the road of burying loved ones, some of them even their own children. They've watched the tragedy of divorce. They've watched the tragedy of wrong decisions, and they'll help you if you'll let them. They provide a sure path. The Bible says in Philippians 3:17, notice, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, someone who's knocked it out for 40 and 50 and 60 years and has been given that crown of glory, they didn't get that old by accident. God allowed him to be that age. That's the whole point of the verse. The goal of the faithfulness, the guidance of the faithful. Thirdly, I want you to see the glory of the faithful. It's right there in the verse. It's the gray head. The fact of the matter is, I marvel many times. I look at some folks and I ask them how long they've been married, or I find out their age, and my wife and I all go, man. Yeah, anybody know who Willard Scott is? Willard Scott? Some of you don't. He used to be the weatherman on NBC Today Show. Now he just does the Smucker's Jar. The Smucker's Jar is the people who are 100 years or older who are celebrating an anniversary or a birthday that day. And the Smucker's Jar turn, and he'll say, you know, Ed Smith and, you know, whatever, Bismarck, North Dakota is turning 108 today, and it'll show him, and he likes to do this and that and this, and he credits his longevity to this and that and whatever. I look at those people, and you know, my wife and I look at them, and sometimes you're like, whoa, she doesn't look like she's going to make another one. She's like 110 or 12 or something. You're thinking, man. And you know what I always say? I always say what they've always known. How did they get that old? Clean living. Now, I'm gonna read you something here in a minute, but the fact of the matter is, God blesses the faithful. Notice, you may not have it in your notes, Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. God says, look, I want you to respect your elders. I want you to respect the fact that somebody's been living a little longer than you and have made some of the decisions and mistakes that you have or going to make. So just pay honor to them just for the fact that I've let them live that long. That's what it says. I want you to see two things about their honor. First of all, there's a visible honor. the fact that they are alive is the visible honor of God on their life. Now, you probably heard about the old fellow who lives to be 100 and attributes his longevity to booze, black cigars, and beautiful women, and never going to church. But according to George Comstock, a doctor at Johns Hopkins School of Hygiene and Public Health, and I quote, "that kind of impious longevity may be the exception, not the rule. In fact, it's more an example of God's mercy on that life than anything else." He goes on to say, in a study of the relation of social and economic factors to disease, the doctor and his colleagues made an incidental but fascinating discovery. Regular church going and clean living that often goes with it seem to help people avoid, quote, "a whole bag full of dire ailments and disasters." He concludes this, and I quote, "nice guys do really seem to finish last." You see, the fact of the matter is, God's word's been right all along. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, "that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And, oh look, the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Does it not say, "children, obey your parents in the Lord? Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live," how? Not short. "Long upon the earth." Isn't that interesting? My wife used to say, "how do you think they got that old?" I said, "they obeyed their parents." They may not have had a choice, but that's what they did. They just obeyed their parents and they feared God. Well, that's a pretty simple answer. You know, if we just obeyed our parents and feared God, we'd probably have a lot better life. Notice in your notes again, the Bible says, Proverbs 20:29, "the glory of the young man is their strength, and the beauty of the old man is their gray head." See, Brother Jackson, it's right there. You've been mentioned all along. Proverbs 4:9, "she shall," speaking of wisdom, "give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." Do you know what the crown of glory is, this hoary head? It's the gift of wisdom. God's allowed you to live so long, and yes, make right decisions or wrong, it's irrelevant. If you're found at that state in the way of righteousness, God said, "it's my glory for you. I'm giving you that honor. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep thy commandments. For lo, look, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." See, Austin, if you just read the Bible like you're supposed to, you just obey the Bible like you're supposed to, and have wisdom and get that principal thing, the Bible says you're going to live a long time, according to Scripture. Now, how long is that? I don't know. Don't try to pin that on me tonight. It may be 70 years, it may be 50 years, but the fact of the matter is, God's the one that said it. Though I may not explain it, I plan on trying it out. How about you? The visible honor. Secondly, I want you to see it's a vertical honor. If you go back to 1 Corinthians just briefly, we're going to close this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I grew up in a smoker's house. My dad ended up quitting. My mom had quit. I think she got quit. She said either the moment she found out she was pregnant with me, or maybe it was when I was born. I can't remember. But I always, before my dad quit, it was a funny game. We used to go out in the back of the backyard, and I had a cockapoo, like Miss Carter's dad, smaller version. And my dad used to take his cigarettes, and he'd flick them like that out into the backyard, and my cockapoo would go out and put it out. I got a fireman for a fire dog. It's amazing. It's the funniest thing. We do it when, ha ha, look at Skipper. Sometimes I get caught in between. He'd be like, ha ha ha. It's hilarious. But whenever I saw the cigarette butts or whatever, I always think to myself, I wonder what that tastes like. I was always so curious because my dad was the one that said, do what he said, not what he did. And that can only go so long. I always think, man, I want to be cool. I want to be like John Wayne, throwing those cigarettes all over the screen when he's doing his movies, and that'd make me tough. I'd be like Dad. I'd be like everybody that he works with. Everybody smokes. You know what kept me? I was fearful that I'd die immediately. I thought, I'm going to go, I'm going to fall over dead. You know, if we all had that fear of sin, we'd probably have made a lot better decisions in our life. I'm just simply saying I was scared to death that God would kill me for doing something stupid. So when you find someone that God has allowed to stay in the not only in the way of righteousness, but reward them with a long life, I want you to see that it actually gives him the honor. The Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. He's the one that promised and now he fulfills it. Doesn't that give him honor? Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. And the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that, watch, no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The person that is of the hoary head that's walking in the way of righteousness at the end of their life must concede to God be the glory. They must concede that. They're not going to look back at their life and say, well, this is what I did. I was able to do this. No, no, no. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of Almighty God. Always, always giving God the glory. I want to challenge you at the beginning of this year to make a daily goal of just being faithful to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Trust Him no matter what you may hear or what you may experience. And at the end of your days, you will look back and find that God has been graciously blessing you all the way to old age. Heavenly Father, thank you for the brief lesson tonight and the picture of the hoary head. I thank you, Father, for the faithfulness.